welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune. And before Greg and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
Well, Coach, let's take a quick look back at last week's 63-28 win against Seaman, Kansas. And when you had a chance to look on film, what were a few things that you noticed that you didn't maybe that were overlooked Friday night?
Composure. We never lost our composure, offensive, defense, or special teams. And that was a game that could have got away from us. It's a game where you could really have everything could go wrong, went wrong in about the first 3 minutes of the game. But our players kept composed. They never lost sight of what we were supposed to do. And we kept on playing. As the game went on, it seemed like we played harder and harder and harder. So we can't have those kinds of starts, but it was nice to see that we weren't affected by a bad start.
Well, it's not often we get to see Blair Oaks play a school that's more than twice its size, and I think what impressed me the most was that was a very, very good offense that Seaman had, and you all did a pretty darn good job after the first quarter of really shutting them down and not allowing them to score until the final seconds.
Again, we were a little shook early, and it just didn't really break us down. You know, a couple years ago, you could see our defense when all these young men were sophomores that something would happen and they would all just panic. It was just like, hey, it's all right. They're getting some yards, but we're going to keep our plan going and our plan's going to work. And then once we got to stop, and then all of a sudden it started, the momentum started on the defensive side, like, hey, we can stop them. Now, they had two really good receivers. Yeah. I mean, that was as fine a two receiver tandem as you'll see in high school football. But I thought our two sophomore corners did a really good job on them. But it was the interior. When I noticed that they could not run the football on us inside the tackles, it was like, this is going to be I think this game's going to turn out all right for us.
And we talked after the game about how, again, it's always a big deal when you can score a touchdown in all three facets of the game, you know, offense, defense, special teams. But to me, it wasn't just the touchdowns. I mean, we saw special teams really take off, especially in the kickoff game. We saw the defense, you know, really step up. You know, obviously got their quarterback his first interception of the game, held him below 50% completion when he's been hovering around 65%. And the offense, you know, again, that first series after they scored, you all came out and, you know, I think it was four straight plays at 10-plus yards. So it was one of those games where, you know, the strength in all three facets made a big difference.
It really did. And again, that goes back to what I saw earlier we were talking about on film, was just the composure that they kicked off to us. You know, they kicked it in the end zone, they kicked it deep. Then we got a big kickoff return on that second one. And, you know, we're almost out to the 50-yard line. Boom, boom, boom. We go down and score. Come back, have a little struggle defensively, but then come back and, you know, we're going back and forth. I think the real telling point for me as an overall team was we were picking it up on offense in the first quarter. Defense really started to pick it up, but the kickoff return for a touchdown, because that kind of set a little bit of a bar that the other team, hey, we're going to match them score for score. Oh, now it's special teams too. Because now that's two-thirds of the games you're losing. And no matter if you're a really quality football team or you know, the upper echelon, a kickoff return for a touchdown affects the whole psyche of a football team. It's like getting an extra point blocked. There's just something about the, hey, all right. It's just that little change of momentum, and I thought that was a huge momentum change right there.
All right, this week's opponent in Eldon, what have you seen from them on film so far?
Well, it all begins with and ends with number one, Hunter Hess. Boy, what a player he has been for 4 years. And not just in one sport, but three sports. He's dominated. He's not just playing, he's dominating. And this year, last week, he took over the game against Southern Boone. And it was just remarkable to watch him on film. He's got two receivers that are going, catching a ball. And you know there's got to be buddies of his that they've been playing together for a long time. They made some tremendous plays last week. He extends plays with his feet. He's got a big offensive line that helps him out. So he's able to do a true RPO out of the wing T offense. They have him in a gun. He'll pull it and he'll throw the ball from any angle. He's 6'4". His ball will be down below his waist. He almost looks like he's pitching it. It'll be up above his head. He's all over the place. Those are angles, but he's incredibly accurate. Defensively, 3-3, and they try to get you at every angle. They just try to attack, attack, attack. Last week, Southern Boone jumped out to a big lead, and all of a sudden they got some stops, they got some turnovers because of their attack style defense, and really changed the complexion of the game, made it a football game.
And you mentioned the wing T, and I really kind of equate them to Maryville in that, you know, 5 years ago they were Eldon was predominantly a run first wing T, and when they played you all, they might actually throw a few more times than they normally would. You take a look at the numbers, and it's pretty close to 50-50 run versus pass, just like what we're seeing Maryville really evolve from that hardcore run first to closer to 50-50.
And again, you're accurate on that. The style is more along the lines of Lutheran North, though.
Okay.
They really do keep the wing T principle there, but they have two receivers that are split out, and that's why he's so good at the RPO, because the wing T is based off winning gap control. And so if they're not winning gap control, they're thinking you're putting another number into the box. It means they've got an advantage outside, and Hess has been doing it now for 3 years. So he's accurately able to predict what's going to happen before the play starts. So we got to be real careful in showing him what's going on.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. And Greg, I think we were a little uncertain of what we were going to get from Seaman, Kansas last week, and what we got was not good enough to beat Blair Oaks.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you talked to a lot of Blair Oaks fans, I think they knew what was going to happen. I think they knew Blair Oaks was going to win. Again, there's just nothing these two teams have in common. They're playing up two classes. It's just so hard to tell.
Right.
And honestly, two plays into the game, it looked like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to Blair Oaks? Because, you know, they fumble on their very first offensive play. Seaman scores a touchdown on its very first offensive play. It's 7-0, 16 seconds into the game.
Right.
To Blair Oaks' credit, the next possession, they scored on like a six-play drive that went like 64 yards or so, and four of the six plays were for 10-plus yards. So I thought getting some of that momentum back made a big difference. You know, again, Seaman still found a way to score three touchdowns in the first quarter, but to Blair Oaks' credit, after the first quarter, they held them scoreless for almost 36 full minutes because they scored that last touchdown with about 6 seconds left in the game.
Well, I was going to ask you, it's deceptive looking because it goes from 21 all to end up being a 63-28 win.
Yeah.
So what was it? I mean, was it just a matter of cleaning some stuff up? Did they flip a switch? Did things just start going their way? What happened exactly to have it be that big of a separation over the final three quarters?
I'll tell you what, special teams played a huge factor in that game, and Blair Oaks won in a runaway on special teams. So it's 21 all, and Joey Woolley returns a kickoff, 98 yards for a touchdown, ties the Blair Oaks record. I believe it was Derek Scheichels back in the early 2000s also had a 98-yard kickoff return. So just like that, it's 28-21. Well, you know, Seaman's found a way to score quick and often, so I'm sitting here thinking, all right, are they going to have an answer this time, or what's going to happen? And Nolan Laughlin, to his, you know, great kick, but it also requires a little bit of luck where he has a kickoff, it hits at the one. Instead of continuing to bounce into the end zone for a touchback, Seaman let it go thinking it's a touchback.
Right.
Hit the 1 yard line, bounce straight up, and then when it hit again, bounce back toward the 5 yard line. So now they have to pick it up. They get pinned at the 8 yard line, and I know Seaman, you know, is able to march the ball into Blair Oaks territory. They have a 40-yard field goal attempt that's short. Blair Oaks gets the ball back, they score, and then they score, and then they score.
Right.
And to Blair Oaks' credit, they lost that early fumble, and it was looking a lot like Lutheran North, because that's how the Lutheran North game was too. Blair Oaks, I think it was their second offensive play against Lutheran North. They fumbled inside the 10, Lutheran North scores, and now you're playing catch-up.
Right.
And that was one of the things I wanted to highlight with Coach LePage after the game, because he brought that up, and I said, okay, what can you say that your team learned in the 4 weeks since playing Lutheran North that allowed you to not make that same mistake again? And I think a lot of it has to do with the confidence. A lot of it has to do with, you know, the offense having a sixth game together instead of only one game together prior to Lutheran North. And on top of that, you know, just great special teams play. The defense really stepped. I mean, and that's the thing. For a second straight week after the game, we continuously talked about how the defense played well. And I know that sounds weird giving up 28 points, but they played well.
Right.
You know, Seaman has a great offense. Their defense was, you know, really struggled because they gave up, I'll go on ahead and just say seven touchdowns because one was defensive, one was special teams. But still, their defense gave up seven touchdowns, and they haven't given up more than 36 points in a game this season. So I thought that was a little weird that Seaman's defense just didn't really have an answer. But to Blair Oaks' credit, the defense really stepped up, played well, shut down their run game. And honestly, I thought one of the coolest parts of the game that I highlighted in my Sunday score was you had two brothers get together and score a touchdown, where I remember watching through my binoculars after, I can't remember his name, but number one for Seaman made a catch, and here's Sam Kloster trailing behind. I just thought to myself, he's going to knock that ball loose. Like, you could see it coming from a mile away. Sure enough, punches the ball loose, and I missed it after that, but it basically knocked it right into Nick's hands after it bounced a couple times, and he ran it in for a touchdown. So kind of cool to see the Kloster brothers get together on a forced fumble, fumble recovery for a touchdown.
Yeah. It improves the Falcons to 5-1 overall. They get back into Tri-County Conference mm-hmm. play this week. They're 3-0 in the Tri-County. It's going to be one of those things where you go, okay, we'll talk about Eldon extensively here in a minute, but it's a big test for Eldon tonight from the standpoint of, you go, you know, we were wondering, okay, how's Blair Oaks going to be this season? You know, they're going to be without a Herrick quarterback for the first time. You know, maybe the offense takes a little bit of a step back. We're two-thirds of the way through the regular season. Let me just read these numbers off to you. 41, 30, 56, 69, 56, 63. Yeah. Scoring points has not been a problem so far this year for the Falcons. So, you know, this is going to be another team that's clicking well coming into this game with Eldon, and Eldon has the unenviable task of being the one to try to go, okay, how do we slow down this offense, which the least they've scored this year is 30.
And really, you know, to Blair Oaks' credit, I thought this was going to be the strength of their offense this year, was that they were balanced. Because, again, when they needed to, Dylan Herrick could score a cut touchdown. It almost felt like whenever he wanted right, to in the right. past. If you look at their touchdowns, I believe Eli Luckett leads them with 10 touchdowns. But it's not like somebody, you know, has 20 touchdowns sure. and the next person has 7 or 6. Right. It's a very balanced attack. I mean, I like that you have the two running backs and you kind of alternate, you know, Hayden Lackman and Eli Luckett in. It makes you wonder what that would have looked like last year had Eli been healthy. Would right. we have seen Dylan Hare not run the ball so much? So, and Tyler Beck just gets better and better and better with every game. I mean, it continuously looks like he's always the best quarterback on the football field, even though he only has 6 varsity starts to his name.
Right.
He just passed 1,000 career or 1,000 passing yards for the season. I think he's above 500 yards rushing, so he could very well have, you know, a 2,000 passing, 1,000 rushing season, which, you know, that's a Dylan Hare-like stat right there too.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the receiving game, and that's the thing. They've been running the ball so well that they haven't had to lean on the receiver so much, but they are there if they need to. So one of these days they're going to face a defense that is going to do a really good job against the run or a really good job against the pass.
Right.
And this team is so balanced that you could take away one and you could take away maybe the other, but you can't take away both on the same night.
Right. So, and not only is it a Blair Oaks offense that's clicking very well and putting up video game type numbers, this is an Eldon team that yeah. gave up 75 last week. So the test gets even tougher from the standpoint of, you go, yeah. okay, I get the fact that you got in one of those bonkers games, you know, but, you know, they end up losing 75-49 to Southern Boone, and you go, oh, that's crazy to look at something like that. Well, they were in a 50-42 shootout loss the week before that, so it's not like it was just a one-game blip yeah. or an aberration where you go, they're giving up some points. They're giving up a lot of points.
And I'll tell you what, you may try to look it up, but I'll take a look at the past two meetings. Blair Oaks dropped 76 points on Eldon last year.
Right.
I remember that game. Now, there's a little bit of a discrepancy because I don't think Hunter Hess, the quarterback for Eldon, did not play in that game last year. You know, so that their offense was kind of hindered a little bit. But if you take a look at their matchups, you know, Blair Oaks scored 76 points last year, 71 the year before, 69 the year before that. They right. found a way to score right. 10 or so touchdowns every time they play Eldon.
Right.
And I mean, no offense to Eldon, I just don't see how that's going to change. I don't know yeah. how you're going to stop. If you can't stop Southern Boone, and don't get me wrong, Southern Boone's good to the point where I'm already looking ahead to that Week 9 matchup probably for a conference title. But sure. can you imagine having to play a Southern Boone team and then a Blair Oaks team, and you might give up 20 or more touchdowns in right. those two games?
Yeah, that's crazy. So I guess the big thing is, okay, we know this is going to be one of those where I think we know that there's a decided yeah. advantage. If for some reason something happens where this game manages to stay closer than probably you or I think it's going to be.
Yeah.
What is that thing going to be?
It's going to, I mean, if this game is close, it's going to be because Elden catches some big breaks on their passing game. So, again, this is the fourth time in 7 weeks that Blair Oaks will be facing a wing T offense. I, you know, talking with Coach LePage, I was like, you could liken this to Maryville in the fact that, 5 years ago, I think Elden had like 46 or 48 run plays and just 4 pass plays against Blair Oaks. That number is going to be pretty darn close to 50-50 this time around because they, I mean, they threw the ball 50 times last week, I believe, or somewhere close to that. And we saw Maryville kind of has gone that way. They used to run the ball almost 100% of the time, and now it's 50-50. But the formation of their wing T is going to look more like Lutheran North, where you have the single back. You've got the tight end lined up off the line. You've got split wide receivers. And again, what makes this defense work well is, you know, Elden the past few years has been known for having great ball carriers. And now they have great receivers, which is what allows them to throw the ball more out of the wing tee. And that's going to, I mean, again, you're talking about a team that lost 75-49, and they broke 2 school records last week. Hunter Hess had 408 yards passing, and Jalen Beckman caught 260 of those yards, both single-game records. And that's the thing is, to me, the matchup is Blair Oaks secondary against the Elden receivers. Exactly. I don't see Elden running the ball much, especially, you know, their running back Andrew Beanland, I don't believe played last week, or at least he didn't record any carries. If he's not available to play this week, you know, their fullback Brandon Wright ran a little bit, but he averaged about 2.5 yards a carry. This is going to be an Elden team that I think they're going to gamble and say, let's just throw the ball and maybe we get lucky and find a hole in the secondary here and there early on. And it's a 14-14 game late in the first quarter and you never know what happens.
Right.
At that point, it becomes who blinks first or who makes multiple turnovers.
Sure, sure. All right, I guess one of the things that we, you know, kind of get remiss about talking about, but we're kind of, if you split the season up into thirds, and we're kind of like, okay, you know, we are now to the third of it. So this is the point of the season where you want to really be peaking, and you kind of look at it from the standpoint of, you know, we have, it's kind of even more interesting from the standpoint of like, you know, in the first third, you kind of got your couple non-conferences. We get an unexpected non-conference. Then now it's just conference the rest of the way out until we start getting into the district play. But, you know, I think we're getting in now to the point where it's kind of common opponents where we've lost. The last week was the last week where we were going to see a real ability to maybe get some bonus points and kind of make the district standings a little more interesting. It still got a little bit more interesting after last week. So, you know, now it's just a matter of, okay, do the results in this last third of the season get them to the point where Blair Oaks can get back into the number one seed in the district?
So Blair Oaks jumped from the 3 seed to the 2 seed last week, even though Centralia won, just because Blair Oaks won by 13 and then they got the bonus points for playing up 2 classes.
Right.
I went on ahead last night and kind of played it out. Best case scenario for Blair Oaks is they obviously win these last 3 games, each by 13 points. And if you look at the schedules, everybody's playing Tri-County or they're playing a non-con, which actually, and this might be the stat of the season, is if you look at all those non-conference games, Blair Oaks might go 7-0 in those weeks 3 through 9 non-conference games that they had to pick up last second to take over for Versailles, which if anything, that's a great thing for Blair Oaks because that helps out your strength of schedule.
Sure.
Best case scenario for them is if Moberly goes 1-2 in these last 2 games. Right now, Moberly is 6-0. They play Hannibal this week. I do believe Hannibal beats them. I think they get Mexico
the week
and week 8, and then they get Jefferson City. And I'll tell you what, I mean, Blair Oaks is going to be huge Jefferson City fans in week 9 because if Jefferson City wins that one, I honestly do think Blair Oaks takes over the 1 seed from Moberly, gets that first round bye. It is possible. I think the way I broke it down was if everything goes out the way it most likely will, Blair Oaks will be around 50 points, and I think Moberly drops to like 48 or maybe 47 points. So, if Moberly wins one of those 2 games, I think they'll lose. I think they may maintain that one seed because they're going to get bonus points in each of those three games because they're all Class 4 schools. So, yeah. I mean, again, you take into account, and Blair Oaks needs them to lose by 13 points, not just lose, but the maximum. So it is possible for a one seed, but it really needs all the chips need to fall Blair Oaks' way for that to happen. And honestly, at this point, I think worst case scenario, they're the two seed.
Right. Okay. Well, I guess we just get to the prediction point, and I just ask you flat out, how big is the separation time?
Gosh, I feel like I need to stick with Blair Oaks scoring 10 touchdowns since they've done it the last two or three times. So I'm just going to say Blair Oaks wins this one. I'll say 70-21 for homecoming.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action J-A-X-O-N-05. Thanks for listening.